Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, April 15th, 2019. We are reading from the Big Book on page 20 and we are reading the first full paragraph that begins, "You may have already asked yourself." Today's readers are Patty F. on the 12 Steps, Nan K. on the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Kathleen O., Jackie H., and Susan H. The reference numbers for yesterday and this morning are for the share ID for yesterday, April 14th special edition, is 12,781. That's 12781. And for this morning, 7 a.m. East Coast meeting on 4/15, April 15th, the number is 12,782. Or 12782. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Patty F. to read the 12 steps.
Hello, this is Patty F. in Massachusetts, the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Patty F. And I will now ask Nan K. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Hi, I'm Nan K. from a recovered compulsive overeater from Michigan. The 12 traditions. Number 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeaters who still suffer. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Nante. I think I did not mention that our newcomer greeter will be Ginger C today, and announcements will be given by Janice PM. Sorry for that oversight. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 20, the very first full paragraph, and I will ask Kathleen O. to get us started.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you so much for your service this morning. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. Let me see, watch my time here. So you may already have asked yourself why it is that all of us became so very ill from drinking. Doubtless you are curious to discover how and why, in the face of expert opinion to the contrary, we have recovered from a hopeless condition of mind and body. If you are an alcoholic who wants to get over it, you may already be asking yourself, what do I have to do? And, you know, with compulsive overeating, I used to ask myself all the time, you know, why do I keep eating? Why can't I stop? Why am I eating so much to the point of obesity? And why do some of us eat so little to the point of starvation? All of this makes us incredibly unhealthy. So, you know, why? I don't know. I know I spend a lot of money trying to figure out why, but what is, and it was good to come to the conclusion, I am what I am, and now how do I move forward? So the how and why, it does, you know, this book gives us the solution to the problem. And if you're like me, who have tried for years and decades, you know, the how and why is really the 12 steps. And I love hearing the word recovered again. We heard the word recovered in the foreword to the first edition. We of AA are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. In the doctor's opinion, this man and over 100 others appear to have recovered. Not long ago, we were on page 17, nearly all have recovered. And in this paragraph, we have recovered from a hopeless condition of mind and body. And the key to this is, you know, I'm not cured. I'm never going to be cured, but I can be recovered. And that happens when, you know, doing the 12 steps and the miracles that come from after the ninth step. are truly, just truly amazing, you know. But I had to be 100% ready and willing to put the food down long enough to work the steps. And, you know, realize I was a real compulsive overeater. I wasn't one of these people that after going through the steps, I could have a little bit of my trigger foods, because I had to realize that I'm never going to be able to control my eating for any length of time if I pick up my trigger foods. And that's a good place to be. So, you know, if you want this, nothing's going to stop you. If you don't, if you're not willing and ready, nothing we say is going to help you. But if you are willing and ready, nothing's going to stop you. And this does work. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Okay, who would like to share in this paragraph?
Wendy M.
Wendy M.
Susan H.
Susan H.
Ginger C.
Ginger C.
Bruce E.
Bruce E. Is there one more? Okay, we'll start with those four. Wendy M., Susan H., Ginger C., and Bruce E. Please go ahead, Wendy.
Yeah, yes, good morning. Thank you, Kathy, and thanks everybody for being on the line. Wendy M. recovered in Boulder, Colorado. So good to be back on the line with all of you. So the thing that I know is I have to be really sick to change, right? The courage to change is huge, right? I've got all these ways that I've been, and I've got to get really, really sick, and it really has to stop working, whether it's the food or people, places, and things, whatever I'm attaching myself to, because I don't want to feel, right? So number one, I've got to be really sick. And more importantly, I've got to know that I'm sick, because I'm swimming in it, right? So I'm swimming in the disease. I don't even know it, because it's in my voice. It sounds right. The disease is in my voice, so it sounds right. So I need to be sick enough. And the truth of the matter is, things have to be really not very good. I've got to be desperate. Super desperate. So that's what happened for me. I was desperate enough to see that I needed to do something differently, have the courage to do it. And the key here really is, you know, that I've got to be willing to ask another person, not me, how do I do it? And as somebody said earlier on the line, it's not that I want to do it. It's not that I should do it. It's that I do it, right? That I take those steps. And it really is a miracle the minute I change my behavior. You know, they keep saying it's a program of action. And if I change that behavior, my mind will change. I had that experience yesterday. I was about to call someone and tell them how it should go. And instead, I called them and I just said, thank you. It was a complete sentence. And it freed me up from the bondage of myself. It freed me up. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you. Something different. I took another tact. I did it differently for the first time, and it felt like freedom. I got freedom because I was willing to change, right? But as I said, you know, to do it differently, I need to call you guys. So yesterday I called someone and I said, my head is sick, right? The disease is in my head. It's between my ears. I had to call someone. I said, I have no solutions here. Talk to me. Just talk me through it. And she did. And it was because I was willing. It was because I was desperate. It was because what I've been doing isn't working. I've been sick, and I have to know that I've been sick. And then I have to do something different. And I have no idea how to do that, which is a revolutionary sentence. But I get to call you guys and say, how do I do this? How do I get out of self? How do I get into other? How do I get that freedom? Well, you have to do something different, Wendy. Your behavior needs to change immediately. So to think contrary action, what can I do differently today? What's my instinct, which is the disease? And then what's the next thought? The next one when I pause, and it's doing it differently to get the freedom to get out of bondage of self and into other and into the solution. And I'm so grateful to know that today because I have such freedom this morning, and I wanted to share it with all of you. And with that, I pass.
I pass. Unmuted.
Are you there, Kathy?
Sorry, I thought I was. Thank you, Wendy, very much for your share. Can I now hear from Susan H.? Thank you.
Excuse me. Thank you. Can you hear me?
I can. Yep. Thanks.
Okay. Okay. You may have already asked you this. What stood out to me was the hopeless situation, a hopeless situation that I really did feel was hopeless. A friend on the earlier meeting shared how alcoholism was pronounced a hopeless situation by all the experts. I have read, because I've studied why I am like I am all my life, to no avail, but have you read studies on obesity? The pronouncement they're pretty dire. They say that your body tends to want to go back to that weight that you have attained. And I found that with diets to be absolutely the truth. I could abstain from what they said I needed to abstain from for a while until I couldn't. And then the hopelessness would come back. And I was desperate when I got to that point. What do I have to do? And because I was desperate and teachable, and I had hope, I heard other people that had recovered and beat this hopeless situation. It is not a logical answer. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that I have recovered from the hopeless condition of mind and body. And it certainly is not by my power. I don't have any. But it aligns me with the power that can solve all my problems. And I'm so grateful I've been shown how to access that power. And I think I can pass after that.
Thank you, Susan H., for your share.
You.
Ginger C., please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you again for your service. This is Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. So what do I have to do? And, you know, at the beginning of this, it says, ask yourself, why is it that I became so very ill from eating? That's where it all begins. Again, thank God for every beautiful bite that I had to take, because one less bite, and I may have not gone from head to heart, and I may not have conceded like I needed to. Because until I'm convinced that this is real and this is my life, that I will die if I continue to eat those bites, I'm not going anywhere. And that's what happened for me for many years in OA, because when life got too hard, I needed something. And I wasn't going to give up against my medallion and that coin. But food was always an option. So God, we get convinced. And I don't think you have to go down to that and keep digging to be convinced. I think today's pain can convince you. You have to work it just as desperately as those that were drowning and dying in the food. But I think today's pain can be enough to motivate you. Because the reality is, you have no idea how long you're on this planet. We think we're going to live this long life. We have no idea what's around the corner. And I don't want to give another second to any addiction out there. Because all I do is I isolate, I separate from life and others and what this is all about. So thank God there is this practical program of action. What do I have to do? I have to surrender. First and foremost, I have to say goodbye to foods that I probably don't want to say goodbye to. Sugar was easy. When God told me cheese, I was a little pissed. Wasn't it enough to give up my sugar addiction? Now you're telling me cheese? And I grew up near Wisconsin. We ate lots of cheese. But if I look at the behavior, it's like clear, you've got something going on here, and it's not good. You're thinking too much about the cheese, Ginge. And how free do you want to be? Because the problem is, I have an allergy that never satisfies, and it only intensifies. Because if a little is good, more is always better. And once I start, I cannot stop. So again, thank God, this program of action, and it's always moving a muscle. And yesterday, I just came to a place where it's like, I'm done. I can't move anymore. But the one thing I remain to do, which I love Silk Work, he says, I hope you remain to pray. Because without God and without a higher power, we are all screwed. The only defense I have is between me and that food, this power that I lack. And I prayed, and God gave me the most incredible answer. And that's how this continues to work. But I got to show up, and I got to keep moving, even when I don't want to. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Ginger C., for your share. Bruce E., please share with us. Bruce?
Yes.
You there? Good.
Thank you. I'm here. Yeah, thank you. And if you can't hear me well, let me know. I'm up in the mountains in North Carolina, and sometimes the communication isn't well up here, but isn't
okay.
Perfect. But...
You sound good right now.
Oh, good. Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you that for moderating. Thank you, everybody that's on the call. And, yeah, if you'll time me, I'd appreciate that. I think this is some great text. And I just want to talk about that here, that you may already have asked yourself why it is that all of us became so very ill from eating. Well, geez, something just as simple as food. How could you get so ill from eating, you know? Well, I did. I got very ill from eating. I don't know why, you know. I don't know. I abused the food for so many years and such an extent. I got addicted on it, but I still don't know how I got so ill from it, but I did. But so I won't ever know why. You know, I probably won't ever know all the whys in the background, dysfunctional childhood, you know, again, abusing the substance, you know, dysfunctional life, you know, all that contributed to it. I can probably give you a list of 20 things, but may not even hit it right on any of them. But I became very ill from eating. Just made me ill. And I got hopeless. The hopelessness came at the point where I couldn't stop. And that's when, for me, that's when the hopelessness came in. And I couldn't do it myself. That's, so I was hopeless because I couldn't stop eating and I couldn't do it myself and I couldn't stop on my own willpower. You know, that didn't work. So then it goes on to say here, we have recovered from a hopeless condition of body and mind. If you are an alcoholic who wants to get over it, you may already be asking, what do I have to do? Well, the miracle happened with me, but I can't explain. I can explain the evidence of the miracle is the obsession and compulsion lifted. And I got neutral with food. That's the evidence of the miracle. But the miracle itself is that it happened. But how did I can't do a miracle to myself, but I can't just put the food down myself. The miracle has to come from a power greater than myself. So that's the miracle. And I can't explain that miracle. I can explain the evidences of the miracle is putting the food down. But the miracle is the higher power that made it all work. So then it says here about the how it happened or what do I have to do? Well, you know, there again you can come up with a list of 20 things, go to a meeting every day, you know, read the big book every, you know, work with it. So my sponsor said to me, if you want what I have, you're gonna do what I did. That was very simple to me. that was very simple. I knew what he did. You know, I knew the stuff he was doing. You know, he was emailing me and texting me and stuff, and I could see what he was doing. So I had to do what he did. And I have to keep doing what he did. And I'm doing that. And
it's time.
Thank you. The main one is I had to read the big book with my sponsor, and I passed.
Thank you very much, Bruce E. Okay, I'd like to take some more names. Who would like to share?
Kara L.
Kara L.
Kara G.
Did I hear Janice? Janice?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, Janice PM. Who else?
Clara G.
Clara G. Anyone else?
Kathy G.
Carlo.
Kathy G. And Carlo, your last initial?
P.
P. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, we'll stop
Patty.
There. Who is that?
Patty T.
Patty T. Thank you, Patty.
Thank you.
Okay, we have
Karen
L, Janice M, Clara G, Kathy G, Carlo P, and Patty T. Did I miss someone?
Karen W, if you have time.
Yep. Okay, Karen, thank you. Okay, Jara L, please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Kara L. It's okay. Long Beach, California, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you to everybody doing service on this meeting so that we can all be here together today. This paragraph is an awesome paragraph, and I think sometimes I forget when I'm working with a new person because I'm already recovered and I'm so used to turning to my higher power in all things that I have to remember what it was like, and this is one of the reasons I need to work with newcomers constantly. Also, you know, it affords me the opportunity to be in the big book continuously reading with my sponsees and reminding myself. And I've been in OA for 15 years and recovered since January. And what's the difference? You know, what do I have to do, I was saying. What do I have to do? And I think I was in that place that I would do anything. Even, I have to be honest, I was super resentful and super, you know, like I thought, well, this isn't going to work. You know, this isn't going to work, but I am willing to do it. And I did absolutely everything that my sponsor asked of me. I told her I wasn't happy about it, and I did it. And about step five, I had a spiritual awakening, and I can't even explain how amazing and beautiful and how much it's changed my life. And as a result, you know, my body has changed, my physicality has changed, my spirituality has changed, my emotions have changed, and I do daily 10 steps. Sometimes multiple times a day. I have other tools today because of this program to be able to move forward in life. And contrary to expert opinion, I have recovered from a hopeless condition of mind and body. And I'm ever so grateful. I'm ever so grateful for Vision. I'm ever so grateful for this big book. You know, I will never tire of it, and I will always find new things in it. And I'm just so blown away about the power of Overeaters Anonymous and the Vision for You meetings and everybody that's on the line that shares. I'm so ever grateful. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Kara L. Thank you. Janice PM, please share with us.
Well, thank you so much, Kathy G. My name is Janice PM. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. When it says, why is it that all of us became so very ill? Well, who's speaking here? to me, it doesn't say some of us recovered alcoholics. It says all of us. So the first thing is that I have to know from the depths of my soul that I am a compulsive overeater, like these pioneers said they were alcoholic, because their experience was, yeah, they could stop going into the hospital, they dry them out, but they always returned. Well, wasn't that me? Always went back, couldn't stop the obsession of the mind. Now, I could get food plans and I could have sponsors and my body would change. But until I had that obsession removed, I did not change. Now, this is just my opinion. However, many years ago, I had a dream, and I was in the water, you know, like the ocean. And I was like being held up, but I didn't have any tube underneath me to hold me. And I looked at the sand, and there was the vision of what I believe my higher power was. And I said, oh, that's how I'm being held. And I saw my mother go to my father, and they went out of sight. So what I believe here is, because I believe there's a power greater than Bill, there's a power greater than Dr. Bob, there's a power that divinely inspired drunks and compulsive overeaters to find that power, because I was powerless. I knew I was powerless. First of all, I didn't even want to be a compulsive overeater, and I tried and I tried and I resisted, and I was at the meetings, and I would say, well, maybe it's the literature, and I didn't read today. I was all, but you know, I know when it says why. You know what I found out for myself? My higher power says to me today, why not? I have a plan for you, Janice. I want to give you this gift through practicing these 12 steps, and you will find me and you will grow with me so that you can give this gift to someone else. That's why I'm a compulsive overeater today. To spread this gift to other compulsive overeaters. Because, you know, my higher power likes weak people. Weak people. And if I had all the answers and I was an orator and I didn't have this, I wouldn't be able to help somebody else, because that was one thing I never wanted to do. I mean, I thought I did, you know, but it was always a selfish motive. So I believe here that it seemed hopeless, that my mind seemed hopeless to change. And God, my higher power came into being and says, now this is what you have to do in order to keep this gift and continue to do my job for you. And that's what I believe today through these 12 steps. And I pass. How about that? Thank you.
Thank you, Janice PM. Clara G., please share with us.
Great. Hi, I am Clara G. I'm from Wisconsin. I really like reading this in this paragraph. What do I have to do? You know, there is something for me to do other than accepting that I am powerless. You know, it's like, yes, I am powerless, but I can work at accessing the power so that I don't have to eat compulsively. You know, first we learn that there is a physical component to the disease. So for me, I cannot eat sugar, white flour, artificial sweetener. It creates craving, physical cravings. But even abstaining from those things, I still can get cravings whenever I get into a fear, a resentment, a dysfunctional thinking. I immediately think about food. And I have to remember, you know, I don't want to eat compulsively again. But I cannot do it without my higher power. And so I ask my higher power to please come and help me. And then I have to go and look at what is making this craving, what fear, what thought made this fear you know, in a second. It just goes automatically, you know, and I have to go and figure out what am I afraid or what anger me, what resentment got there, because sometimes happens in a second that I'm not even conscious. What I realize that I had the resentment because I'm thinking about food, so I have to come back and say, God, please help me do this because I cannot do it by myself. And I figure out what is the defect of character that made me have this resentment. For example, I was intolerant with somebody, and so then ask God to please replace the intolerance with tolerance, so replace the defect with a virtue. And if I was angry at somebody, to replace that anger with love, and so that the resentment can go away. And once the resentment goes away, the craving goes away. And so that's my process of making sure I don't overeat today. It's not only staying away from the allergy food, I have to stay away from those feelings, those fear and anger especially, but also that sometimes there are just insane thoughts that I'm believing, lies that I tell myself and I'm believing. I mean, maybe I could analyze them into fear and anger, but those things make me eat, could make me eat. So those things are the ones that I have to be aware, and that is where my part comes. What do I do? You know, because I cannot just say, well, I am powerless and so I cannot do anything. No, there are things for me to do in order to stay abstinent. And I think my higher power wants me to do all that is possible for me to do, and he'll take care of the rest. And yeah, with that I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Clara D. Kathy G, please share with us.
Thank you, Kathy. It's Kathy G., recovered compulsive overeater in Illinois. Grateful to be here with all of you today. Well, I came on today because I don't want to. And when I read the sentence, what do I have to do for myself, I feel that I have to come on and share, especially when I don't want to. Because one of the foundational pieces of my recovery has bringing that which is hidden into the light. And if we go back one page, it says, we feel that elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. A much more important demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. And I've been talking about the challenge that I've been having in my marriage. And it's just calling me to die to myself more and more. And it's such a good death. It's such a necessary death, but it's so painful sometimes. And I have to keep talking about it and just bringing it into the light, because if I don't, these uncomfortable feelings will cause me to start thinking about food, and I'll ultimately end up back in food, which is why I came here in the first place, to keep out of it. So I talked to somebody yesterday, and they just reminded me about the sick man's prayer on 67, and I just so love this, just to be reminded, well, at the bottom of 66, that, you know, if we're feeling wronged in any way, or like a person's not, you know, meeting my expectations, which I have to release, to always remember that, you know, perhaps they were spiritually sick. Yikes. I mean, I certainly was and can slip into that. And just to be reminded that those around me have their spiritual challenges as well, and to just grant them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that I would cheerfully grant a sick friend, and say, how can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done. So, deep breath, deep breath.
so grateful to be here today, and thanks for giving me a chance to process this. I'm going to take action. Love you all. My best.
Thanks very much, Kathy G. Carlo P., please share with us. Press star 1, Carlo, to unmute. Are you there, Carlo? Okay, we'll move on then to Patty T. Are you available to share?
Hi, Kathy. Yes, thank you. This is Patty T, recovered today from Southern California. And so grateful. I really love that question, what do I have to do? You know, that question has replaced the why, along with the why me. During that 6 years of chronic relapse that I suffered, those were the questions I was asking, why and why me. And over the last, I'd say, 11 months since I've been part of this fellowship, I've been discovering that it's not about the why, it's about what do I have to do? What can I do, right? And I had a really amazing experience this week. I a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned to my sponsor that I hadn't lost any weight for 3 months, that I'd been back and forth and back and forth, you know. And to me, you know, when I get into that self, that weight, it's the obsession of the mind, right, that number. And the fact that it was playing with the same 3 pounds for 3 months, it was concerning. And I finally brought it up to her. I was like, well, I don't know, you know, what to do. What should I do about this? And she suggested, well, maybe you should call a nutritionist. Well, I have one. Okay, well, maybe you should call her and talk to her. Maybe you should get a food plan from her. Oh, I have one. Oh, well, what is it? And I told her, it's what I send you every day. And she's like, okay, well, let me see it. Oh, my God, can I tell you how pinged I got over her text question to me? Can you send it to me? Wow. Talk about not wanting to be accountable. And yes, I had to do writing on it. That's what I can do. That's what I should do. What do I have to do? I have to write about that. I have to write about why I don't want to be accountable still, even though I'm recovered. And you know why? Because I have a disease that tells me I'm better than, I'm okay, I've got this. And I have to be reminded every day, and usually by someone else, that I don't. And at the same time, simultaneously, I was dealing with seeing self a lot, like seeing my selfish, self-centered, self-seeking motives every day. And I realized, oh, all that I got this is the same thing. So I got to turn it over to God and not be appalled that I have these character defects, but be grateful that I can see them. And then guess what? My food cleaned up. I shared the principle of the first step, honesty. I got honest with my sponsor. I cleaned up my food because, you know, I also suffer. Part of my disease is amnesia. So, you know, 2 tablespoons of hummus became some hummus. Not okay. But, you know, I'm learning, I'm living, and I'm learning. And you know what? I'm so grateful today. I'm still abstinent. I'm still in recovery. I'm happy to be here, and I'm so grateful to all of you for helping me along the way. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Patty T. I'm going to check to see if Carlo P. is on the line. Did you want to share, Carlo? Okay, we'll move on to Karen W. Please share with us, Karen.
Good morning. This is Karen W. in Wichita Falls, Texas. There are several Karen W.'s in Texas, we're finding out. I am so grateful to be here today. And I just want to tell you all that every day I listen, I get some gem. And I take notes during this call. And when I need you, I reread some of the notes. And it's so powerful. So I want everybody to be encouraged that whatever seed you share, you might not even know that it's a seed that's helping somebody, but God does, and that person that you're helping is recovering. And this is an amazing group, and I just want to thank you for it. The why, I, you know, can easily get into that overthinking, because if I overthink it, I'm going to find the answer, and then I can move on. Or if I know why I can't believe I have to not buy an alcoholic food, then I'm going to have the answer. But that is that overthinking, obsessive overthinking, that's part of the whole disease. So I stop quicker now with the overthinking because I have the tools. I go to ask myself why, but I don't linger there. Then I release that angst to my higher power. I try to write it out, and then I try to do the next small thing. So that's right. So the tools, the snappy little phrases that we use, inwardly reorganizing is an amazing one. All those little gems along this journey really help. And some of you, when you say you want to share, I go, oh, goody. So I just want to encourage us all to share. I don't do it very often, but I think this is my third time because I want to know what you guys say. But I hope that something that we all say touches whoever God wants it to. And thank you so much. I am recovering compulsive overeater. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks very much, Karen W. We have time for one more share. Who would like to share?
This is Jackie from
Maxie.
Indiana.
Oh, go ahead.
I heard Jackie. I didn't get your last initial.
Jackie H. from Indiana.
Oh, great. Go ahead, Jackie, please.
I just want to say that I'm extremely grateful for the program. I was a binger and a purger and compulsive overeater, and if it wasn't for the Vision program, I wouldn't be alive today. So I want to just say thank you to everyone that shares. Pass.
Thanks very much, Jackie H. I heard someone else who would like to share. Who was that?
This is Mags C.
Mags C. Please go ahead, Mag.
Hi, everybody. It's so good to hear everybody's voices on the line today. I think that's what I mean, this is a program of action, and thank God, because I'm such a doer. It gave me something to actually pursue and do, and it occupied my mind enough that I wasn't overthinking. I just listened to my sponsor and took those necessary steps. But I think even more than that, the sense of belonging to you guys, the sense of belonging to that I've never really had before, and it's so crazy because there's so many of us, and I grew up feeling so alone and knowing that I'm not the only one that's doing steps 1, 2, and 3 today, or 4, 5, and 6 today. I'm not the only one struggling to make restitution. And having your voices every day, it makes me actually be able to be courageous and brave and take another step on this journey. So I am so grateful for all of you, grateful for the program and this plan of action. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Maxie. Appreciate your share. Okay, it's now time for us to close the meeting. Thank you all who are here today. It was really very, very rich to listen to all of you, and I hope for everyone else as well. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Jackie H., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thank you, Kathy. Another Jackie H. in this world. Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.